Well, we're not wading through 2-3 inches of snow, so I rejoice in that. I like snow through the picture window of my house. But I enjoy being in the presence of those who are fellow Christians or those who are seeking to know more about Jesus as we meet together to study, to worship together. You know the story way... Okay, thank you. I trust now that my voice is carrying better. I don't know if it happened this time, but usually back there, someone, Ken, is holding up a sign saying, "Turn on the microphone." But I wasn't looking back there. Thank you, Rod. Well, once again, you know the story back in the days of Adam and Eve. Satan slithers up to Eve and asks this very simple question. Did God really say it? Now the question seems innocent enough, but it was intended to plant doubt in Eve's mind. Did God really say? Satan asked Eve, and it worked. If Satan could get Eve to doubt God's truthfulness, then he could get her to ignore God, because obviously she didn't trust God. But she decided she would trust Satan. Now, just very simply, that's the story of Eve and Satan. And that's a trick as old as history itself. For example, if an advertiser, whom you don't know, can get you not to trust someone that you usually trust, like a doctor or a scientist or, or certain large companies, and if they can get you to doubt those groups, then there's a chance that they can get you to buy their product because you are persuaded you can trust them. Now let me just put it more simply. How do you know you can't trust them? The one that's giving you that line. Because they told you so. Well, and why can't you trust the people that they've warned us about? Because they have created doubt in our minds. Now, here's where I'm sure if you turn the television on at all, or even your computer news on at all, you've seen advertisements start out by saying something like this. This is a secret that doctors don't want you to know. Or this announcement. Big Pharma might force us to quit making this offer to you at any time. You've heard that. The idea is to get you to doubt someone that you have trusted, so that this new advertiser, whom you don't even know, can get you to buy a product you've never heard from about before, from someone you've never heard about either. Now that's what Satan did. Satan got Eve to doubt God and trust him, that's Satan, instead. Now that's what our message is this morning. I've gone through a long detail here just to get you to understand that you can trust God and we can trust his word. Listen to the words of Scripture. All Scripture is breathed out by God, it's his word, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the first thing that we need to realize is that the Bible is God's word. And we can trust it. And God's word is valuable, we've just read, to be and God's word is valuable to us because it can change how we think and make us better people. Have you ever heard anyone say, now let's get down to nitty-gritty? Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that's nitty-gritty. There was a time, a trial in Kentucky a few years ago around the practice of displaying copies of the Ten Commandments in school, public school classrooms. One judge who ruled on this wrote, having the Ten Commandments on the wall may induce a student to read, meditate upon, and actually obey what is therein written. Well, yeah. That's the whole purpose of it being there. That's the whole purpose of God's word. It's there for us to read, to meditate upon, and actually obey what is written. You see, the Bible does have the ability to affect how we think and live, and even pagans understand this, and they're not at ease about it. Jeff Strite, a preacher in Indiana, wrote, now here are his words, when I was younger, I went to a secular college and took classes in psychology, sociology, and philosophy. I noticed that in several classes, the professors would spend a lot of the class time attacking the Bible. Why would they do that? It was because many of the students had been brought up in church, and Scripture had shaped how they thought about the world. And so some professors hated that because the Bible was a threat to what they were wanting to teach the students. As long as the students clung to Scripture, they might not accept what the professor taught. So the teacher's goal was to make the students doubt God's word, and thus to destroy whatever faith these students had in God's word. Basically, those professors asked their students, did God really say? Then they accused the Bible of, I hate to say it, accused the Bible of lying. That's the same technique Satan used on Eve in the garden. But now, there's a legitimate question to be asked. How do I know I can trust the Bible? I mean, just because the Bible says I can trust it doesn't make it so, does it? Well, listen to this, and it's on the screen, from the Smithsonian Institution Department of Anthropology and Archaeology. They have an official sentence that says, the Bible as history. Okay? To it they say, much of the Bible, in particular the Old Testament, the historical documents of the Old Testament, are as accurate, The historical documents of the Old Testament are as accurate historical documents as any that we have from antiquity. Do you understand what that's saying? All right. And are in fact more accurate than many of the Egyptian, Mesopotamian, or Greek histories. He goes on to say, these biblical records can be and are used as are other ancient documents in archaeological work. For the most part, historic events described in the Bible took place and the people cited really existed. That's official notice at the Smithsonian Institute. You can trust the Bible, it says, about historical events. Now, there's more to think about, though. Many Christians believe in Jesus because of what the Bible says about him. Two Sundays ago, we sang this song together. Now, I won't make you do it this Sunday, but remember, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little children to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. The Bible tells us so. And I believe the Bible. I believe that Jesus loves me. But why do they believe that Jesus loves me? Because the Bible tells them so. The Bible tells them that they were created in God's image. and that God cares for them, and that no matter how badly we've messed things up, Jesus can fix what is broken in our lives. Now, I figure you can understand what this is. This is my Bible I've carried, I don't know how long. It's just full of notes and writings and scribblings. And the print now is getting so small, I can't read it anymore. Well, yes, I can, if I'm very careful with my glasses. But everything we know about Jesus is in this book. Everything we know about Jesus. Every word Jesus spoke that we know about is in this book. Every miracle Jesus performed that we know about is in this book. Every truth that Jesus taught is written here. We don't know anything about Jesus that's not written in this book, the Bible. And as a result, if you don't trust the Bible, you're not really going to trust Jesus. Without faith in God's word, your faith in Jesus is always going to be lopsided. Now, Jeff Stride, I quoted him a few moments ago. Let me quote him again. He wrote, "Years ago, a member of a church I served began to talk about errors in the Bible." Now, I can remember years ago when some magazine talked about 50,000 errors in the Bible. He said, "I tried to talk to him about it and explain why the errors that he thought the Bible had, that he saw there, were not errors at all." But he was insistent. Eventually, he left the church. His faith and his wife. I figured out later that he'd been unfaithful to his wife long before he began to look for any errors in the Bible. Why was he looking for errors? Because he was sinning against his wife and against God by committing adultery. And he knew the Bible condemned his sin. But he didn't like that message. He accepted a lie from Satan so he could live the way he wanted to live. He embraced Satan, who whispered to him, "Did God really say?" Someone said, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. Satan lies. And so do a lot of people who don't agree with the Bible. It doesn't matter if it's an atheist or a member of some cult or even a politician. There are people who twist scriptures because they don't like what the Bible says. I think the communion meditation we had, that once again pointed out, this is God's word and I believe it. The point is, the Bible is God's word, given to us so that we'd have a foundation for our lives and for our faith. That's why we have a motto that we live by. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we're silent. Meaning we're not going to command things that the Bible doesn't speak about. Because of this, if we don't cling to the Bible as the primary source of authority, Satan will either up and ask, or slither up and ask, did God really say? And we end up being confused and intimidated. Now here's what Jesus said. The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When Satan lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yes, Satan lies. But it's interesting how Jesus dealt with Satan when Satan tried to deceive him. Remember? Jesus had been out in the desert fasting and praying for 40 days. And Satan came and offered him false promises. Three times Satan tempted Jesus. And three times Jesus turned Satan down. And what Jesus said each time began with these words. Three words. It is written. It is written. It is written. And Jesus quoted scripture to Satan. Well, where is it written? In the Bible. Jesus could have said, you know, think about this. Jesus could have said, truly, truly, I say unto you. And he did say that a number of times in his ministry. But I think that when Jesus faced down Satan, saying, it is written, it's because that's what we have to do. When facing temptation, fear, or doubt, we need to say, it is written. Because if we know the Bible, it has the authority we need to deal with Satan. Now, about a dozen years ago, a representative of a missionary team called Ambassadors for Christ in the Philippines told about a missionary who had such a passion for the Filipinos that he went to the Philippines on a shoestring budget. Now this missionary had such a powerful passion and powerful witness that today, 37 years later, there are now nearly 40,000 Christians at 700 congregations that he helped plant there. Not only was that mission helping to convert people to Christ, but the teachings of the Bible was making a powerful effect on their culture. I mean, the speaker then told about having visited the Philippines in the 1970s and being overwhelmed by the stench and the garbage. Many people lived in terribly unsanitary conditions. But as the Filipinos became influenced by the teachings of Scripture in this area, things began to change. Leaders became more concerned about their needs of their people, establishing modern drainage system and trash control. And city leaders were so impressed by the effects that the Bible was having upon their people, their population, that they asked the churches to teach the Bible in their schools in that area of the Philippines. Now, here are two pictures from my childhood. So you can figure these must be kind of old. But I remember them. Oh, I remember them. What, the first one is of two Tibetan women on a holy pilgrimage. They believe that there are thousands of gods, and at least one of those gods has put a curse upon them. They don't know which god or why he's cursed them. So now they are on their way to a holy mountain. When reaching that mountain, they will get down on their hands and knees and repeating this prayer, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, over and over again while crawling the 11 miles around the base of that mountain. And they believe that having done that, the curse will finally be lifted. Now, this picture is of two Tibetan women who are Christians. Of course, you instantly see the difference. They believe in a God who loves them, who sent his son, Jesus, to bless them, who loves them. And following his teaching has made all the difference in their lives. Oh, I remember Mary and Martha. Actually, the first one on the left was Leela Lee, but I guess it's shorter to call her Mary. But anyway, that's what we called her. I remember them well. The point is this: when the Bible is taken seriously, people change, cultures change, and nations change. The Bible is trustworthy because it has also changed the lives of people and the direction of entire cultures. Now, one last thought. Jesus taught the authority of Scripture. One last thought of Jesus taught the authority of Scripture, and that's why he told Satan, "It is written." He was declaring that it is the authority we should cling to. Now, I'm going to mention a number of scriptures here, and I do have the passages written down, but I'm not going to read every scripture to you. I'll just tell you where it's found. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 17th and 18th verse, he says the Bible, that's as Jesus said, the Bible was indestructible. In Matthew 12, 40 through 42, he said it was historically accurate. He rebuked those who put traditions of men above God's word. In Matthew 15, 3 through 9, he believed in the inspiration of the writers of the Old Testament. Matthew 22, 43, and Matthew 24, 15. He taught that the law, the prophets, and the Psalms all spoke of him and his resurrection. Luke 24, 44 through 47. And he spoke of the existence. Now, I'm not going to give you all the scriptures, but he spoke of the existence of Adam and Eve, Abel, Noah, Lot, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, Elijah, Naaman, Isaiah, Lot's wife, the flood, Solomon, Gomorrah. Well, I could go on with more. The point is, Jesus spoke as though these were real characters and real events. And he said, it's good enough for me. Now let's review the 4 points that I've tried to make this morning. Number one, the Bible is God's word, and you can trust it. Number two, the Bible has led many to believe in Jesus. Number three, believing the Bible has changed lives and cultures. Number four, Jesus taught the authority of the Scriptures. He said it, and I believe it. And that's why Paul wrote our text this morning. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Oh, I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. Everything I believe about Jesus is found within these pages. Everything said about him found in these pages, I believe, are true. God loves us. Jesus loves us. Now, because of that, a long time ago, I, as a young boy, stepped out and said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believed it with all my heart then. And nothing has happened over the years to change my belief. I followed his example, his command in baptism, and I've sought to be a faithful witness of his. And I know many of you have done exactly the same thing. But if you haven't, today is the day. I invite you to come. Well, really, Jesus invites you to come. I'm just speaking on his behalf. And if I'm not here speaking on his behalf, someone else will, until finally Jesus comes again. If you're willing to accept him and begin that step of becoming and living the Christian life, we invite you to come. If you're already a Christian, if you've already done that, and you need a place to make your life count, be a witness while you're here, and you'd like to make this congregation, we invite you. You have a home here. Would you come as we stand, as we sing?